And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord reminded me of something this morning, so I've got some notes here on my phone because I didn't come in until... I've lived here forever. I never time it just right. I never leave my house quick enough. I always get here late when I come from the house. But I'm spending... School's out, so I'm coming into the office a little bit, but I'm going to spend the week doing some writing, that kind of thing, and have a little bit better setup at home to do that. I'll be here every day, though. But this is the Lord just reminding me of this word that he gave me years ago. He said, Chuck, we must abandon false humility and enjoy him enjoying us. We think it's humble to always talk about how sinful we are and how inadequate we are and how weak we are. It's really a form of self-centeredness. It's still about being focused on yourself. And the truth is, God doesn't wait for you to get your act together to enjoy you. David messed up a few times, and they were really bad. And yet he said, I know that the Lord delights in me. After the worst time in his life, he said, I know that God delights in me. He didn't say that God was approving of what he did, but God delights in us. And so we do have to abandon the false humility and enjoy him enjoying us. There's this place about just God's love. The Lord was speaking to me this morning and the whole issue of love. So again, I'm just going to read you a couple of things that I wrote that are from my notes, but it's easier for me to do that than try to memorize them. There's something about obedience, John tells us, John 15 particularly, 14 and 15 tells us, that obedience awakens love. Obedience awakens our hearts to love and for love. And you would think it's not true, because mostly, unfortunately, because people live under a condemning, performance-based Christianity. When they think about obedience, they think in terms of duty. But Jesus said in John, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love is the pure, obedience is the purest expression of affection. See, affection itself is not love. People have affection for God, but they never express that affection in action. Affection, true affection, always must express itself in action for it to be love. Action in terms of words, but words aren't enough either in terms of behavior. If the husband is never laying down his life down for his wife, he's never serving, he's never verbalizing his affection. And I've had this happen many times over the years in counseling, and to say, well, she doesn't think you love her. Well, I love her. She should know I love her. I said, no, that's not enough. In charismatics, we think that we've reached the epitome of love when we're jumping up and down and worshiping. Well, we should jump up and down and worship as an expression of our love, not as a fake, but as an expression of our love. As I've said before, here's the biblical reason for raising your hands in worship, because it's too hard to stand on your head. And so that's the most polite thing we can do, right? But our obedience is the highest expression of affection, and it awakens our hearts for love. So let me just read a few verses to you. This is from John 14. I've mentioned it already. Verse 21. It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and we will manifest ourselves to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you were going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Interesting words. This is verse in chapter 15. He's been talking about abiding in him. He says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. When he talks about his words abiding in you, it doesn't mean having a lot of scripture memorized. He just talked about being obedient, walking out my union. Obedience is the greatest expression of union. That if we're one, then what it is he's wanting to do, I'll manifest that in my humanity, in my language, in my disposition, in my actions, right? Obedience is about union being expressed. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Then these words, strange words. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, when he said earlier, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he shall be loved by my Father. So does my obedience get God to love me? If that's true, it says about Jesus, he said, I kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. Does that mean that Jesus' obedience got the Father to love him? No, that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is that obedience awakens my heart for love. And it postures me to live in the consciousness of him enjoying and delighting in me, loving me the same way he loves Jesus. Jesus loving me the same way he loves the Father. It postures me to live in a consciousness of how much he loves me and my delight in him. Obedience awakens love. Now here's the issue that I, years ago, asked this question. I said, why is that? Because it's had sort of a paradigm shift about obedience being duty and keeping you out of hot water with God. You know what I'm saying? Because God's got this billy club or this stick, the rod thing, and he's always wanting to whip it out, you know, and whale us with it, but our obedience keeps that stick in its right place. Why does obedience awaken love? Why does obedience awaken me to live in the realm of God's love for me and my love for him? It's because the scripture says that God is a consuming fire. He lives and has lived and will live in an eternal environment of shared love with the Trinity. God lives in an eternal environment of shared love. Love's very nature is to what? Give itself. So God lives in an eternal environment of shared love, and the triune God are constantly giving themselves to each other. Just read what Scripture says, like the Holy Spirit in response to the Father and Jesus. So you with me? Obedience is about shared love. Totally let your brain be wiped, the computer in your brain to be wiped off. And don't think of obedience like you've ever thought of it before. Obedience is shared love. Obedience, love looks like something. And obedience is that. Whatever you thought about obedience, it's not that. Obedience is my participation in my union with Christ, giving manifestation to that. So we can't say, well, yeah, I understand about being in Christ, I'm in union with Christ, and then go grouch at somebody. Oh, is that what it looks like to be in union with Christ? Does Jesus go around and grouch at people? Well, you know, it's just my personality. Well, it's not his, and he's supposed to affect yours, right? Or whatever. God's lived in an eternal environment of shared love, and love's nature is to give of itself. And therefore, when we walk in obedience, it places us in that environment. Like God's love is like this amazing environmental ocean. And obedience postures us to live in that realm. To experience, doesn't get him to love us, but to experience the nature of his love for us. And it awakens our heart love for him because true love gives away. And obedience is about true love. I mean, he really could just substitute every time in Scripture, if you look for the word obedience, just go, true love. If you love me, you will show true love, which is obedience. It's the most romantic term in Scripture. There are times when, I mean, Livia struggled off and on over the years. And I've told this story before, but I remember one time when we thought she was dying some years ago, and I'd had to turn her over at night, and never she'd turn over, so I didn't get a lot of sleep. And I remember one time, and Livia's very much didn't like being dependent on someone. She liked her independence. That's who she was. I realized the other day, and this is just extra, it's not meant to make you sad, it's not a sad thing, that I was so grateful that Livia wasn't the one left behind, because it would have been too hard, because she would have had to depend on somebody else, even though she may have been very close to them, to care for her, and she couldn't have stood that. But we had taking care of each other for so long, and this one night about 2:30 in the morning, she asked me if I'd go get her some cookies in the kitchen. And my first response was, what? What? If you love me, you wouldn't ask me to get up and go get you cookies at 2:30 in the morning. So my attitude initially was not an in Christ attitude. And then the Lord began to speak to my heart and convict me and said, what if you wanted cookies at 2:30 in the morning? You just get up and go get them. She can't. If you love me, Chuck, you'll show true love And in the process of showing true love to me, you'll show true love to her. You're in Christ. I want to get up and get her some cookies. That's the way Christianity works. Not laying there and go, Lord, you know I love you, but I don't want to get up and go get her some cookies. The Lord would say, well, you say you love me, but love looks like something. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.